Tuna-dependent Pacific economies are being threatened by climate change-induced ocean warming, which is pushing tuna populations eastwards and out of their waters. This is according to a new collaborative study by Conservation International and a consortium of technical agencies. The study found that, contrary to previous predictions, the migration might already have begun and that all of the affected Pacific countries stand to lose. In this first of a multi-part series, I'm joined by a panel of experts from some of the collaborating organizations. Kia ora and welcome, everyone. I'll let you introduce yourselves.
I'm happy to start. I'm Johan Bell. I'm the Senior Director for Tuna Fisheries at Conservation International.
I'm happy to go next. I'm Coral Pasisi. I'm the Senior Advisor to the Director General of SPC.
Hi, Karoi. My name is Simon Nicol. I am the Principal Fisheries Scientist at the Pacific Community and Team Leader for the Fisheries and Ecosystem Monitoring Program.
Hi, Foster Lava.
Hey, kia ora. Might as well jump in now. I'm Hugh Walton. I am the Chief Technical Advisor for the Oceanic Fisheries Management Project for the Pacific Island Forum Fisheries Agency.
Thank you, Tomas. Thank you, Hugh. First of all, if someone can explain this study, what is this study and how is it different from previous studies in this space?
Karoi, I'd like to say that this study really was the brainchild of the late Sue Tai, who was the Executive Director of Conservation International's work in the Pacific Islands in New Zealand. Sue learnt about the projected redistribution of tuna to the east. And she was really the first person that I know of that actually said, well, hang on a minute, this is actually very serious. You know, what if the tuna move out of the combined EEZs of the Pacific Island countries into the high seas? There could be a real climate justice issue here. And that got the whole ball rolling. We had a think tank at the University of Wollongong 2 years ago now. We had representatives from FFA and SPC, the P&A were invited, but unfortunately couldn't attend. Anyhow, to cut a long story short, we had a lot of good people around the table, and we decided at the end of the day that this was a really serious issue and that we needed to raise awareness of the world about it. And so we committed then to write this paper.
If we can go through some of the key findings, what you found out in doing this study.
Thanks, Johan. So, Karoi, a lot of what we've done in the Pacific region over the last decade or more has been to develop up a really thorough understanding of how tuna in particular respond to the environment that they occupy and how climate change and a warming ocean is likely to impact that. Back in around sort of 2010, 2011, we did some very rudimentary modelling around what that impact was going to be. And as Johan mentioned, that gave us the very first indicators of a likely eastwards distribution of tuna under the varying climate change scenarios that were being proposed at the time. And so our most recent work has been to really refine those models to understand that impact at a much higher resolution than what we had previously examined, to also test a whole range of different uncertainties in the climate projections that are made for the future. So that includes both projections if there are no mitigation measures, so that we, you know, it's kind of the business as usual high emissions scenario that the globe persists on, or also the scenario that if we're able to achieve the Paris Agreement targets, but also to include a whole lot of uncertainty about how the atmosphere and ocean might warm under each of those scenarios. And so what this work did that I think is really telling, that is different from, or is a real advancement from the previous work, is that when we did that early work, And we looked at things in a very coarse resolution, the response that we saw was this easterly movement, but it indicated that there's perhaps some winners and losers in terms of the tuna, how tuna are distributed within the exclusive economic zones of the equatorial Pacific countries. And so those in the far west were likely to, you know, see less tuna in their EEZs, and those in the central Pacific, such as Kiribati, were likely to see more. What our new modelling is showing, though, is that under the high emissions scenario, or the business as usual scenario, is that the distribution is likely to be so strong, and so strong by 2050, that none of the countries or the Pacific Island countries are likely to benefit from that redistribution, and that most of the redistribution will occur into the high seas in the eastern Pacific Ocean.
Vinaka Simon, and we'll have to leave that there for now, but we'll continue this series on the tuna migration and its impacts on the Pacific economies dependent on tuna in our upcoming episodes of Pacific Waves next week. So do tune in for that. And once they've all been aired, we'll put the complete panel version up on our website, rnzi.com.